Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio, right here live with Coaching with Carrie. And we're continuing our episodes, our sessions, coaching sessions on delivering customer value, enhancing your value, you guys, and getting paid what you're worth, which you know you should. And we just don't always put systems and technologies and mindset in place in order to really, truly deliver the highest level of customer service and customer value we possibly can. If you focus on customer service and customer value, you don't have to focus on your commission, on prices, on money at all, because people really do care about high levels of customer service more than they care about the money. They're just going to discount you if they don't feel like your value is there. And so that's what we've been talking about in the last three sessions. If you haven't been able to listen to those, remember, you can go right here live, just search Coaching with Carrie on Blog Talk Radio. And you can listen to those last three episodes along with literally 50, 60, 100 more episodes that have been done in the past. They're all recorded right there for you, typically between 20 and 30 minutes, and hopefully you'll bring some great value out of those. But if customer service is something you're looking to continually improve on, which I hope it is, these last sessions hopefully are going to be beneficial to you, your business, and your team if you have one. So go back and listen to those three episodes, and then today we're going to continue on, obviously, with this coaching series. And just to kind of remind us, last week, it kind of just in summary, right, we talked about choosing to cap your growth or maximize your growth. And if you cap your growth, it's because you're compromising your service standards, period, right? You can only go out and get new business when you do that. You maximize your growth when you fulfill your standard, your service standards, and that's because you're not only going to continue to get new business due to your reputation, but you're going to get constant referrals and repeat business, and truly, that's what this is all about. So you need to pay attention to those six service areas that we talked about in the last session, which were standards, communication, mindset, and professional image, technology, systems, and leverage, right? Because if you maintain this standard size service level, you're going to build your business, like I said, with both new and repeat customers and referrals. It's so important to do that. So now I want to continue to talk about the third component of delivering customer value, which is really satisfying expectations. And we're also going to move into, at that point, how you check in with your customers on a very regular basis and you resolve any issues that come along. Because you guys know, at the end of the day, you've may done everything you're required to do and you still do not have a satisfied customer, right? And that's why we have to check on a regular basis. When the transaction is over, you have to check on how they feel. But while it's going on, you also have to check in on how customers feel about what's happening. So view problems as opportunities, you guys, to create customer satisfaction, because problems and issues are inevitable. So now we just need to figure out how to deal with those. And this is a very, very big part of delivering a high level of customer service and delivering customer value. So approximately two-thirds of buyers and sellers, these are those that are working with agents, expressed certainty in recommending their agent to others or using their agent again. So what happened to the remaining third, right? Well, they weren't satisfied. We look at this all the time. NAR does those surveys every single year, and it's always astounding that not everybody is looking to refer their agent, and we need to figure out why that is. Well, I'll tell you, it's because of customer service, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. And it's not that the agents have horrible customer service. It's that they don't exceed expectations. They don't satisfy customers' needs and wants. They don't set expectations up front. They don't check in regularly, right? These are all the things that you have to be purposeful and intentional about. These things aren't just going to happen on a regular basis. You can't wing this, right? Things have to be systematized and you have to be very intentional if you want to get the results that you desire. So for a third of customers that weren't satisfied, they're really basically what we found out was a disconnect between what the agent felt he or she needed to accomplish and what the customer felt the agent needed to accomplish, right? So that's just a miscommunication. That's just a lack of communication, a lack of setting expectations. In any case, it represents a lot of lost opportunities for repeat and referral business, right? So we need to figure it out. It's dangerous to assume that just because your service met your standards, that it met your customer's expectations. And that's really important. Let me repeat that. It's very dangerous to assume, first of all, it's dangerous to assume at all, but it's very dangerous to assume that just because your service met your standards, that it met your customer's expectations, right? Most dissatisfied customers will not complain directly to you because complaining takes a lot of effort, and they just don't want to do it. They would rather take their business elsewhere if they didn't like something about your service. And so it's absolutely essential to make sure you satisfy your customer's expectations in order to develop a truly successful business. Well, a satisfied customer is happy with the job that you did, right? And as a result, they represent an opportunity for repeat business down the road, and they also represent an opportunity for repeat and referral business now and later. So reaching customer service is really important, and it's a step-by-step process that just doesn't happen overnight. Customer satisfaction begins with the rapport you establish when you set expectations at the beginning, right? And with rapport, right, comes trust. And trust is the result when you do what you say you're going to do. And after trust comes credibility, and credibility is achieved when you do what you say you'll do and you do it well. Then the next and most obvious step is achieving your stated outcomes, right? So selling their home for the best price in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of hassles, etc. Finally, with these four things in place, you now have a foundation for customer satisfaction, but you still have to ask, and you may have to do something else. So don't forget this, you guys. The customer satisfaction, it's a journey and it's a destination. It's how your customers feel during and also after the real estate transaction. It's the end result of everything you promised to do and what you did. And satisfaction is not just contingent upon final outcome, but it's also measured at every point of contact along the way. And that's really important to understand. Many of us just realize or think in our head that your customer will be satisfied if you just quickly get the house sold and get them to closing. If things were not smooth or if things were not measured at every point along the way from point A to point Z, you still may not have a satisfied customer. Satisfaction is always in flux as well, right? It's like a barometer. It goes up with every success and it drops with every failure, so you constantly need to monitor it. So these criteria are most often used by customers to evaluate customer service quality. So this is important for you to understand because you need to check yourself. You need to look at these 10 areas and you need to rate yourself. On a level of 1 to 10, where are you, 10 being the best? And what areas are the most highest priority that you need to improve? What systems can you create surrounding these, or what can you do differently in the future? Number one is consistency. Again, these are the criteria that most customers are using to evaluate customer service and quality. So this is important for you to know. Consistency, the service was delivered reliably and accurately. That's one of the top criteria. Competence, the service provider demonstrated skill and knowledge. That's important. You need to be learning-based. You need to be as competent as possible, constantly becoming a better professional, right? Responsiveness. The service was delivered promptly and willingly. Accessibility, so the service provider was easy to contact and very approachable. Consideration, the service was delivered respectfully, politely, and courteously, right? And communication, the service provider listened and kept customers informed. This is a big one, you guys. Not only do you need to listen, but you need to keep the customers informed all the time. Credibility, the service provider was honest and believable. That's important, right? And security, the customer never felt that the service outcome was at risk or in doubt. That's a really big one. They need to feel secure in your relationship and your ability to help them. Empathy, customers felt the service provider understood and accommodated their needs. And lastly, tangibles, there was clear evidence of the service provided. That's important. They need to see that you've done things. They can't always just hear it. They have to see that you've done things. They have to get updates regularly. They are not going to assume that you're doing things. They don't even know what you're doing, so you have to communicate that. So why is customer service so vital, right? And why is it so vital to your business growth? Well, research shows that it costs 5 times more to find a new customer than to keep one. Dissatisfied customers generally tell about 8 to 20 people about their dissatisfaction on average. And satisfied customers generally only tell 3 to 5 people about their satisfaction. That's interesting. So dissatisfied customers are going to go and tell 8 to 20 people about their situation, and satisfied customers are only going to tell about 3 to 5. A company with 95% satisfaction rate would eventually end up with more than twice the market share over competitors with just a 90% rate. Think about that. Just a 5% increase, and it actually ends up reaping them twice the market share over the competitor that only had 5 less percentage. That's key. Let me repeat that one. A company with 95% satisfaction rate would eventually end up with more than twice the market share over competitors with a 90% rate. That's crazy, and that's why customer service is so, so vital. So the second part of this is checking in how the customers feel early and often and resolving issues as they arise, right? And as I said before, it's dangerous to assume that because your service met your standards that it met your customers. Well, most dissatisfied customers, like I said, are not going to complain directly to you. It takes a lot of effort. A lot of times people feel uncomfortable complaining. They'd rather just take their business elsewhere and not talk to you anymore, right? So throughout the transaction, you have to check on how they feel about what's happening. Let customers know at the beginning of the transaction that you will survey them after it. Communicate to them that it is your job to ensure that the results are positive, and ask customers to stop you during the transaction if they have any issue at all. It will be more difficult to fix the issue later, and you need to nip it in the bud, right? So when the transaction is over, you have to check on how customers feel about what happened. Survey them, ask them if they had a 10-plus experience, and if not, what would it have taken to make it 10-plus? You need to increase your understanding of customer satisfaction by using these feedback systems, you guys. Build your credibility by asking customers to evaluate your services. Don't be afraid of it. This is an opportunity to improve. And people love to give their opinion, and they'll feel better that you want to do. They're going to feel better about working with you if you want to improve. Make it easy for your customers to provide feedback to you. Mail them a customer satisfaction survey with a self-addressed stamped envelope, right? Provide an online feedback system that's anonymous, whatever the case may be. Consider using an outside vendor maybe even to conduct your surveys, and that's what you can do online as well, right? You want to enhance the honesty of the feedback, and there's ways to do that. Keep track of all of your complaints and use them as learning opportunities. One complaint might be an anomaly, but if there's multiple, then you need to figure that out, right? More than one complaint of the same type needs to be a telltale sign of a real problem that needs to be solved in your business. Turning complaints into a positive experience is an absolute way to cultivate loyal customers who become your referral campaigners forever, and you have to understand that. Don't avoid it. Turn the complaint into a positive experience, and they'll probably become some of the most loyal customers you'll ever have. So remember the old adage, people don't hire you for when things go right. They hire you for when things go wrong. So don't be upset when things go wrong. Look at challenges as opportunities to demonstrate your problem-solving skills, you guys. Problems can be magic moments if you speedily address setbacks or issues. And when you come through, your customers will notice your performance and they will sing your praises to you and to others as well. So in anything involving people, you just have to know problems and mistakes are inevitable. You have to just look at them in a positive way and see them as an opportunity. Don't let mistakes ruin the entire customer service experience. Too many people do that, and it's not necessary. You need to tell your people up front during your initial consultation to not judge you by your mistakes, but how quickly you recover from them, because mistakes are inevitable and you're human just like everybody else is. You need to respond immediately and listen actively and ask open-ended questions to identify those problems. Validate their feelings immediately. Apologize, and you can never apologize too much, right? They are only the beginning of a possible recovery, so apologies are never enough. Commit to the most satisfactory solution to the problem and specify when and how the resolution will occur. And then deliver your solution before the promised time. That's how you make up for problems and mistakes, right? How you handle problems can and will affect your credibility. So be aware that anger could be your most powerful mental state, and it's very contagious. So when you're confronted with a problem, how do you respond? Are you confrontational? Are you non-confrontational? Are you cooperative? We feel the best course is to be cooperative. Say this to them. We're in this together. We'll solve this together. Let's not focus on blame, but rather on the solution. A cooperative approach tends to bring the best outcome overall. Working individually, identify and basically write down a recent problem you had with a customer. This is a great exercise, right? You need to figure out and identify what is your style of handling problems, and what was the result of the problem, and what did you learn from the problem, and what do you plan to do differently next time? And what do you need to learn about handling problems? Because we all do things really well in certain ways, and we can all improve in certain ways, and handling problems is one place which you can always improve. And you need to understand how you naturally respond to these things and maybe how you have to change that. So always view conflicts as problems to be solved rather than a battle to be won or lost. This is a great mindset. Always view conflicts as problems to be solved rather than a battle to be won or lost. So here are some tips on how to resolve problems. Always focus on facts, you guys, and not emotions. Always focus on facts and not your emotions or their emotions. Be disciplined in retraining yourself to focus on the issue instead of personalizing their comments, right? You need to retrain yourself to focus on the issue instead of taking things personally. Apologize and validate the issue. Own your statements by using I language, right? Probe and identify the problem and ask for details and clarify that you understand what they're saying. You need to repeat back what you heard to your customer in, of course, a little bit of an abbreviated term, but ensure they need to know you hear them, right, and understand them. Ensure you and the other person fully understand the exact nature of the problem as well as each other's goals before you come up with any possible solutions. And then rationally talk about the pros and cons of the possible solutions together and Use language that enhances the feelings of working together. What you say really matters. How you say it matters more, but what you say really matters. So make sure you're using language that enhances this feeling of working together. The more solutions you identify and consider, the greater the likelihood that the conflict will be managed successfully, by the way. And sometimes people focus on symptoms and not the real problem, and it's critical to identify the core issue in order to come up with a workable solution. Have you ever been there before where your client is talking about just things you can't even believe they're talking about? It doesn't even make sense. Well, that's not the real problem. Those are symptoms. You need to dig down deep and find the core issue. Come to an agreement on what will work for both of you and fix the problem as soon as possible. You need to assure your customer that the problem will not happen again. That is key. So behavioral science has done a lot of research on customer satisfaction, and here's some information on their research. You need to build commitment through choice. Customers experience greater satisfaction when they feel they have some control. This is where your strategic service flexibility comes in really handy. Look for areas that you can be flexible in and offer them as options to your customers. This can be as simple as letting them choose their preferred communication method, email versus phone, for example. But it allows them to feel like they have some control. You also need to give people rituals, and you need to stick to them. Customers find comfort in predictability and in consistent routines, you guys. Your rituals can be your weekly communication with them. It can be your speedy callbacks. The secret is to reliably do it so that they actually feel like it's a ritual. Okay? And get the bad experiences out of the way early. Customers prefer to hear unpleasant news before pleasant ones. So strategically work this to your advantage by presenting negative information promptly and always finishing your communication with something really positive. You need to combine the pain and the segment and segment pleasure in. So customers experience a strong reaction to unpleasant tasks, right? Events or news, and then pleasant ones. So find ways to combine tasks they might not want to do and continually look for ways to do small things in a big way throughout the transaction that create pleasure. And you need to finish strong. Last impressions have more impact than first ones. You probably don't know that because that's not what we hear, but it does. You need to find ways to leave lasting impressions after the sale. So now that we've talked about ways to set, service, and satisfy expectations, we need to talk about ways that we can surpass customer expectations, right? And that's really important. So next week, we're going to talk about surpassing expectations, doing things expected in unexpected ways, right? Or doing one unexpected thing. It's really important to do that. That's how you're going to surpass expectations. And it's how you are going to ultimately build a business that's going to flourish for many, many years into the future. So join me next Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, once again right back here, Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie, to go over surpassing your customers' expectations. Let's wrap this up in a positive way and figure out how we can do the best that we can do now that we know how to set expectations, how to service expectations, how to satisfy expectations, how to communicate in a professional way and have the right mindset and the right technology and systems and leverage to be the best that we can be. We now need to go above and beyond, you guys, and this is what most people don't do. How can you go above and beyond, right? Customers expect a certain level of service during a transaction, and meeting them just may not be enough to wow your customers. You'll need to exceed your customers' expectations by doing what they expect in either an unexpected way or even doing more than the customer expects, period, right? So to remember, in order to surpass expectations, you first have to set, meet, and deliver on them, and then you can go ahead and surpass them. So I look forward to talking to you back here again 11 a.m. next week. And remember, if you'd like some more information on this particular concept of delivering customer value and enhancing your value and getting paid what you're worth, I can send you additional information. All you need to do is reach out to me, carrieh@kw.com. You can message me right here on Blog Talk Radio on Coaching with Carrie. Find me on Facebook on Coaching with Carrie. Like my page. You can find some awesome information that I do in terms of blogging and marketing and getting more business as well there. You can send me a private message there, and my Twitter handle is carrieh@kw. Thanks so much, you guys. Look forward to talking to you. Have a wonderful weekend, and if you're in Minnesota, get out there and enjoy this weather. 88 degrees. Can you believe it? Talk to you guys soon.